Morning, and a warm word of welcome once again to our weekly Bible study coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. I want to thank you at this stage for coming and joining with us, and I do pray that the Lord will richly bless each one over the course of our study this evening. We're coming to Psalm 62 this week as we continue our journey through the book of the Psalms. The Psalm number 62, let me encourage you once again to have your Bible even open there if you have one, and to follow along in the reading of God's Word. Psalm 62, and the psalm has an entitlement of To the Chief Musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Psalm 62, we're going to read the psalm together at this stage. The verse 1, Truly my soul waiteth upon God, and from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence, and I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people, and pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Amen. And may God bless the reading once again of his precious word. I've entitled our study this evening in Psalm 62, David's Testimony of Trust. David's Testimony of Trust. May we have a moment's prayer just at this stage, please. Father in heaven, we bow before thee, and we do rejoice in another opportunity to come around thy word. We do thank and praise thee, O God, for giving thy word to us. And we do acknowledge that thy word is that lamp unto our feet and that light unto our path. And O Father, we just pray that thou wilt come by thy Spirit and speak to each and to every heart this night. Thou knowest each one that will be listening and watching in, whether it be on sermon audio, whether it be YouTube, or whether it be Facebook. We do thank thee for each one. We thank thee for that desire that's been placed in their hearts, even to listen to God's word and to spend this time even hearing this message. And we do pray that thou wilt speak, saved and unsaved alike, that they will hear a message from the Lord for their own hearts this evening, that the Spirit of God will apply it to each one, and Lord, even through it, Lord, may souls be saved, backsliders restored, and thy people encouraged and built up in thy most precious faith. Come and be with us now and bless us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One evening, a frantic mother called her minister. She was extremely nervous and worried about her and her family's circumstances and situation. And during the course of the conversation, the minister could hear one of her children speaking in the background. And so he asked the mother, he says, is your child upset and worried just like you? Of course not, said the mother, for I suppose she puts her trust in me and lets me do the worrying. Well then, said the minister, make a transference of your trust, for you are a child of God, and just as your child has put her trust in you, you need to put your trust in God. And how true that is for every Christian in every circumstance. Each one who is saved will state that they have put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. They will say that they are trusting Christ for eternal life. And of course, that is a good thing. And it is a wonderful thing that someone can say that their faith and trust is on the Lord Jesus Christ, that through his death and resurrection from the dead, that they are saved and they have eternal life. See, your eternal life and your eternal destination is far too great and important to put into the hands of a church, to put into the hands of a denomination, to put into the hands of any person, including yourself. None of us are able and none of us are capable of giving anyone eternal life and eternal security. We have to put our trust in the Lord. We have to put our trust and our faith only in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is a great God. Eternal life is a great thing. Eternal life is a miraculous thing. And therefore we need a great God to accomplish it for us. But why is it that whilst we trust God for salvation, we trust God for the eternal aspects in our life, why is it so often that we do not always trust him for what we face in this life? We say, yes, eternal life, we trust the Lord to give us eternal life. We trust the Lord to keep us forever. We trust the Lord that when we die in this world, that he will take us immediately to heaven, that we will be with him. We will be in his presence forever. But yet, the little things that come our way, and I say it purposely, the little things compared to the grand scale of eternal life, these things that only come for a season. Why is it we do not always trust the Lord for those things? You know, the context of Psalm 62 is believed to be the early days of David's reign. Saul is dead by this stage, but as of yet, David is not king of all Israel. Whenever you read the opening chapters of 2 Samuel, the chapters 1 through to 4, it gives us a history, it gives us the context of how that Judah is the only tribe who comes and anoints David, who comes and is willing for David to be their king. The armies and the forces of Saul, who are led at this stage by Abner, they have anointed Ishbosheth as king. And so he is over 11 tribes and David is only over the one. And what follows then for a period of time is a civil war. And so David, certainly at this stage in his life, he's in new territory. He is now king, just as God had said he would be, but he is not yet king over all that God said he would be. God anointed him king by the prophet Samuel to be king over all Israel. And so David, yes, he is king of one tribe by this stage, but 11 still must come and bow the knee. And so it's in this context, it is believed that David pens this psalm. And in this psalm, he speaks both of his own faith and of the need for others to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to split this psalm into two this evening for our time together. And I want to look firstly at the verses 1 through to the end of verse 7 under the title David's Affirmation. David's affirmation. He begins with the words, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, and from him cometh my salvation." This entire section of the psalm, it highlights for us that David's dependence is completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. David, like all of us, he needed salvation. He needed both eternal salvation and he needed a salvation even in those temporal matters in his life at that time. Remember, as I said, there was a civil war going on. And David needed that protection. He needed that security. He needed that salvation from those enemy forces, that they wouldn't come and overthrow him, that they wouldn't come and kill him. And four times in those opening, or in these opening seven verses, you have the word a salvation, the verse 1, the verse 2, the verse 6, and the verse 7. And you can see how much salvation means to him. You can see how important salvation is to him. You can see how important not only the word is to him, but also the meaning of the word and the doctrine, the theology that's in the word. You see, the salvation that the Lord has given to him, the salvation that David is speaking of here, it never leaves him. It is constantly on his mind. And by inference, therefore, it affects every part of his life. Every day that he got up, And everywhere he went, everything he had to do was underneath that realization, underneath, as it were, that ark that went over and above him, that ark of salvation. David got up every morning, there was joy in his heart. I am saved. David went about his business as king over Judah, and even leading that people, and even standing and leading that people in that civil war and standing against the enemy. But David always had it on his mind and on his heart. I am saved. He never lost the wonder of it. He never lost the miracle of it. His salvation in the Lord never grew cold or grew dusty and worn out, as it were, that it became boring, it became mundane in his life. Salvation to him was real. Salvation to him was personal. Salvation to him was joyous. It was miraculous to think the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me, and the Lord Jesus Christ is keeping me and has saved me forever. Let me say that there is no greater thing that a person can say about themselves than that they are a sinner saved by grace. You know, being able to call yourself a king is one thing. Being able to call yourself a ruler, a president, a prime minister, being able to give a title, this is me and I am such and such a thing in this world, whether it be a ruler, whether it be a celebrity, whether it be someone important in the workplace, whatever that case may be, even the joy that you can say, I am a husband, I am a father, a wife, a mother, whatever that case and cause may be. But there is nothing more wonderful, there is nothing more meaningful to say than to be able to say, I am saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved me, and I am saved forever. You see, every other title or statement, it can have a time limit attached to it. A president can only rule for a certain amount of time. A king, a queen, a prime minister, a ruler, a position within a company or whatever it may be, that has a time limit attached to it. But to say you're saved, to say you're washed in the precious blood of Christ, to say you're saved and you have salvation, well, that's forever. You see, it's not just a case that you're saved for this lifetime and then when you die, well, that's it over. No, that's only the beginning. You see, whenever you're saved, it's eternal life. In other words, you're saved forever and forever and forever, and we can keep adding on the evers and evers forever because there is no ending to that salvation. David was able to testify, I am saved. The Lord has given me salvation. The Lord is my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. David's able to testify, I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from God's wrath. I'm saved from the penalty of spiritual death. I'm saved from every attack. I'm saved from everything that could take me out of the hand of the Lord. Yes, the devil may try. Yes, the forces of evil may try to get me away, but no one can take me out of God's hand. I'm saved, and I'm safe forever. That's all included in salvation. And you can even see as you go through this psalm that the joy and the emphasis of it, the importance of it, and even as his time in this psalm goes on, his faith and his rejoicing, his strength increases. Because there in the verse 2 he says, I shall not be greatly moved. But by the verse 6 he then says, I shall not be moved. In other words, he's at the beginning he's saying, oh, I don't think I'll be moved too far. But then as he considers more and more the salvation that's found in Christ, he realizes, I'll never be moved at all. I'll never be moved even one inch. I'll never be taken out of God's hand, even a centimeter, a millimeter. That I cannot be moved at all out of God's hand. I'm saved. Every born-again Christian would be able to testify, of course, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah, of course, testified of it, Jonah 2 and the verse 9. And David, in this psalm, he emphasizes that fact time and again. We can read it in verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He repeats it again in the verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. David, very simply and very clearly, he highlights to everyone who will read this, I have salvation in no other save in Jesus Christ. He's king, but he's not looking to his army to save him. He's not looking to his ruling elders in Israel at that time to save him. He's not looking to his friends or to his family to save him. He is completely, uniquely, eternally relying upon the Lord. See, that's the reality today. If anyone is relying on anything else other than Jesus Christ, they're not saved. If you're relying completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, my faith is on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am relying completely upon his death and resurrection from the dead to save me from my sins, then you're saved. But if you're saying today, oh, I'm relying on my denomination, I'm relying on my church to get me to heaven, I'm relying upon my religion to save me, let me tell you, I have to be completely honest, you're not saved. Salvation is of the Lord. And David very clearly emphasized that he only is my rock and my salvation. Even though he followed the Judean style of worship and religion at that time, yet David wasn't saying, oh, my religion, my prayers, my giving, my efforts, whatever it may be, none of that has saved me. My salvation is completely of the Lord. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul would tell the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. That Philippian jailer, he would come in at that time after that earthquake, he would fall on his knees before Paul and Silas, and he would say to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't be saved any other way other than through Christ. You can't get to heaven any other way other than through Christ. He said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because David's faith and trust is on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to say that he is on the rock. You see, there is nothing more sure, and there is nothing more steadfast, there is nothing stronger than the salvation that Christ offers. Oh, what a difference there is between being saved and unsaved. The saved are standing on the rock. The unsaved, as it tells us in the verse 3, it highlights in that way that the unsaved are as a bowing wall and as a tottering fence. You know, in Belfast there is that clock known as the Albert Clock. If you're standing just down a bit from the Albert Clock and you look at it, you'll be thinking to yourself, why is that clock leaning? And it's right, it is leaning. Whenever it was first built, all of those years ago, the foundations at that time, the ground around there is all reclaimed land. It's all a very, very soft, putty clay. Whenever we were drilling in that area all of those years ago, we always referred to it as sleet. It's a grey, slightly sandy, clay silt. Extremely soft. And in that area, you could go down maybe 40, 50, even 60 metres in depth in some of those areas before you'd hit some good, solid ground. And that clock was built, and then because of those poor foundations, because of that extremely soft ground underneath, it started to lean over, it started to bow. You know, that reminds me of the unsaved. You put your foundation, you take your standing on anything other than Christ, you're going to sink. You're going to become perilous like a bowing wall can fall any time. You're going to become perilous like a tottering fence. You wouldn't trust to put your own weight upon a tottering fence, would you? If a fence is leaning over, you're not going to go and put all of your weight and climb over that part of the fence. You're going to look for a sturdy area to stand upon. And that reminds me of the unsaved, for David described his unsaved condition himself as being in miry clay. Clay that you can sink in. Clay that is soft. Clay that is sticky. Clay that is going to pull you down. My, what a difference. You're saved, you're on the rock. When you're unsaved, you're in the miry clay. You know, the Christian's testimony's never changed. Because the one that the Christian trusts in over all of these generations has never changed, Jesus Christ. See, what they trust in has never changed either. It's his finished work. In other words, his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, and then his resurrection from the dead as being the only way of salvation. It's unshakable. It's unchangeable. And oh, that the unsaved would see the difference. If you're listening to this service and you realize I am unsaved, I am not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've never put my faith and trust in him, well, consider the unsaved for just a moment. The unsaved can change their views, and you can go to the different unsaved people and you can ask them the question, what are you believing in? What are you relying on for eternal life? What are you trusting in? Some may say a church. Some may say a family member. Some may say a religious figure. Or some may say, I'm not trusting in anything at all. All different. But yet you ask a born-again believer, you ask a Christian, what are you trusting in? And the answer will come back, I'm trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You find yourself this evening in that miry clay. Let me encourage you, wherever you are, to turn from your sin and to put your faith and trust in Christ. Simply to cry unto him, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in your death. I believe in your resurrection from the dead as the only way to have my sins forgiven and to have eternal life. You ask the Lord, you turn from your sins and you ask the Lord to save you. I can guarantee this, wherever you are, you'll come up out of that miry clay with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be placed upon that rock, Christ Jesus, the unshakable, unmovable, unchangeable rock. And you'll never falter, you'll never fall, you'll never sink, you'll never come down off it. You're safe, you're secure. We look then, secondly, the verses 8 to 12. You'll see David's admonition. David's admonition. The verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. You know, like any good Christian testimony, there is always two parts. You listen to a Christian's testimony, there will be firstly the testimony of what God has done for them, what God has done for the speaker of the testimony, but then there's also the testimony of what God can do for the hearer, for the reader of it. You see, what God had done for David, he could do for others. And what the Lord David, or what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you. You see, just as David was secure, saved, and just as he was sure of his salvation, so too can others be, and so too can you be. Christ, as I said, Christ has saved me. And even though I didn't deserve it, even though I didn't merit it, yet he saw fit to save me. And he can save you. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what you have believed in up until this point. If you turn from it all and you say, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That means he'll save them. David here in these closing verses, he not only highlights what God can do, he also exhorts the unsaved anywhere and everywhere to turn to Christ. You look at the verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times. In other words, shake off those ties and those chains of traditions and heritage. Loose thyself from those bonds of wickedness, that trap of trusting in others, that trap of trusting in other things. And the verse 9, he warns against trusting in mere men. He says, surely men of low degree are vanity, men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. In the book of Jeremiah, in the chapter 17, in the verses 5 to 9, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. The verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And then it goes on to say, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river. In the verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful about all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And there's the difference. Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord, but cursed is the man who doesn't. You know, men of low degree, as David speaks in here. In the verse 9, he says, surely men of low degree are vanity. Men of low degree, they're vast in number, yes. They're strong, yes. They're unable to save you. In other words, don't go simply with the popular opinion. Don't go with the crowd. Don't go with the sway, thinking, well, surely if all of these people and all of these millions of people say there's no God, well, they must be right. Going with the crowd doesn't save you. Broad is the way that leadeth to hell. Then David goes on to speak about the men of high degree. He calls them liars. He calls them deceivers. Men who believe that their status makes them superior to us. Men that have titles after their names. Men that hold places of authority. They believe that they have all of the wisdom, the knowledge to decide and to make every decision for you. And you simply have to follow whatever they say. You know, there in this world there are many who say that they can help you. They can guide you. Whether it be the safety in numbers or whether it be that self a promoted person seeing themselves as special or different, but each and every one, whether it be the crowd or the individual, whether it be the low or the high, each one must be assessed against Scripture. Whatever a man says to you, whatever a man promises you, whatever a group says that they can do for you, the answer must always be, what saith the Scriptures? If a man says or a church says we can save you, you must then take it to Scripture and see, well, are they, what they are saying, is it the same as Scripture? You see, God never lies. His word never lies. He is the way and the truth, John 14 and 6 tells us. The Scriptures are truth, John 17 and 17 tells us. So therefore, whenever the Scriptures say in verse 11 of this psalm, that power belongeth unto God, believe it. God has power to change everything. He has the power to save you. He has the power to keep you. He has the power to make you a new creature in Christ. Romans 1:16, it tells us the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. When the Scriptures say in the verse 12 that, or in verse 12 it says, unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Believe it. God is a merciful God. 1 Peter 1 and the verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. God is rich in mercy. God is a rock of salvation. He has the power to save you. And in his abundant mercy, he is willing and ready to save. So as David said in the verse number 8, trust in him. Sinner, tonight, if you're listening and you're unsaved, trust in him this evening. Maybe you've tried everything else. Maybe you've been putting your trust in many different things over the years, and time and again they've failed you. Time and again they've let you down. Let me encourage you right now, wherever you are, whether you be at home, whether you be in your car, wherever you are, trust in the Lord. Give up on those other things in life that you're putting your faith in. Give up on churches. Give up on denominations. Trust in the Lord for your salvation. Trust in him alone. Child of God, you're listening in as well. Rejoice in the fact that you can testify of his salvation the salvation that the Lord has given to you, the salvation which he has freely given to you. Rejoice that you're found in the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, what a joy it is to be saved. What a joy it is to know you're saved. What a joy it is to get up every day knowing that you'll never see hell. Knowing that you'll never see and have the wrath of God upon you. Knowing that one day you will join with Christ forever. Oh, what a joy it is to be a Christian. May each one who hears this broadcast, may they be saved. May they know that they're saved. May they know of that time and that experience whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came into their lives. And they turned from their sin. And they put their faith and trust in Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee, O God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who purchased that salvation upon the cross, who gave his all that we might have all in him. O Father, we do pray that thou wilt bless even thy word to each heart. Thou knowest each one who will listen. Father, we just pray, especially at this time, for any that be unsaved, thou wilt speak to them, that thou wilt even, O God, show them that they can have that salvation in the Lord. That they can be standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus. O Father, this night may salvation come to many precious souls. Remember thy people as well. O God, give us that joy in our hearts when we consider the glorious fact that we're saved not just for a day, for a week, or for a month, but we're saved forever. Father, bless each one, we pray thee. Bless our congregation. Bless, O God, each one in it. We think especially once again of those involved in the NHS in these days. Lord, undertake for them. Remember our elderly. Remember the sick. Remember the mourning families in our congregation as well. Comfort them and be unto them all that they would need. Lord, pour out thy spirit upon our land. Save many precious souls in these days, even in days of uncertainty. May men and women turn from everything and find that certainty in Christ. Hear our prayers this night, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you once again for joining with us. I do pray that the Lord will bless you and encourage you. And do remember our services on Sunday, 11:30 and 7 p.m. Once again on Facebook, YouTube and on Sermon Audio. Come and even spend that time with us around God's Word. Thank you very much and may God bless you.